Welcome to this week's episode of Predestined Purpose, ordinary people doing extraordinary things in the midst of chaos. Today, I have Shauna Bryant here, and she's an author, a YouTuber, and Bible study teacher. So she's written Longing to Belong, Discovering the Joy of Acceptance, a second book, The Lord is Close, and she did a video Bible studies curriculum called Enough is Enough, Realizing God's Sufficiency. 27 years ago, she had a loss when her infant son was diagnosed with a fatal disorder. It resulted in a difficult situation and a loss of hope, but the Lord pulled through. So we're going to be discussing more about that today. Okay, so in 1996, you had your second child. It was your son, Sam, and you found out that there was a fatal diagnosis going on there. So I'm curious, can you take us back to kind of that moment when you got that diagnosis, what your thoughts were, and how you responded?
It was a long time ago. I remember thinking at one point I'm going to be able to tell this story without crying. Yeah. And I think I've finally gotten there after all those years. One of the things that I remember the most is that my water broke and I hadn't gone into labor at all. And I had been telling the gal that I worked with that, oh, that just happens in the movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go into labor, you know what's going on. But no, me, whoosh, I just was drenched. And I said, oh, for heaven's sakes, what's going on? So my husband took me to the hospital. And when my OB came in the room, mm-hmm. I said, it's leap day. I don't know how long you can go with your amniotic sac emptied for it to still be safe for the infant, but I don't want to have the baby on leap day.
Yeah.
And I had had my previous, you mentioned Sam was my second, my previous child via C-section because of some complications and difficulties. So he asked, do you want to have a C-section again? And I said, I really don't. I want to wait until after midnight so that I can have a baby naturally.
Yeah.
On a day that doesn't happen only once every 4 years. And I'll never forget what he said, Reagan. He said, no matter how your baby is delivered or what day your baby is born, God has planned it that way for a reason. Mm. And I remember thinking, why on earth would God want me to have a cesarean on leap day? Mm-hmm. That doesn't even make sense. But now fast forward, he performed a cervical exam and said, the baby's breech. We're going to have to deliver C-section.
Oh, wow.
So I went into surgery without any contractions, without any of the trauma of birth, only to find out that my son wasn't going to survive. Mm. And again, hindsight, now his birthday only comes around once every 4 years. I only have to relive that traumatic experience once every 4 years.
Yeah.
And because I had a cesarean without any labor at all, all of the trauma from the emotional, you know, stress, I was ready for physically instead of already being completely worn out from going through the trauma of a physical labor.
Yeah.
So God was even in control of all of that. Just fascinating to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, even through such a difficult situation, praise God that like he had things set in place so that it wasn't as traumatic as it could have been moving forward.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to point out too is having a relationship, a strong relationship with God in the first place, you know, not shooting up those foxhole prayers, having that relationship in advance. When I went into, you know, the postpartum and my son went off to the NICU, I mean, I was there all alone, just me and God. And I just felt him, I just felt his presence. He was already giving me peace. He was already giving me comfort. And when I woke up the next morning, you know how you kind of come out of sleep and you're all of a sudden back in reality.
Yeah.
This is what happened yesterday. I felt prompted to reach for the Bible in my bedside table. I didn't even know there was a Bible there, but I felt prompted. Reach for the Bible in your bedside table. Well, again, because I'd had a cesarean, when I tried to sit up, there was all this abdominal pain. So I laid back and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And he said, well, I have something for you. Again, just that still small knowing in your spirit. from the book of Jeremiah.
Yeah.
So I started quoting to myself scriptures that I had memorized from Jeremiah because I didn't want to struggle to get the Bible. But he said he had something new to give me. And so it was one of those things where I finally reached over, opened the drawer. Sure enough, there was a Gideon Bible.
Yeah.
Pulled it open and it flopped right to Jeremiah 17. Wow. And the verse said, there's hope for your future, declares the Lord. Well, right then my nurse for the day walked in and I said, listen to the word that the Lord gave me this morning. There's hope for my future, even as she's pulling back the curtains to let the light in.
Yeah.
Well, she was just amazing. The Lord sent her as a, just an angel to minister to me and care for me. But she called me at the end of the day when she got home from her shift and she said, Shauna, I wanted to share with my husband the verse that you quoted to me, but I wanted to get it right.
Yeah.
So I pulled out my Bible and she said, you didn't read the whole verse. Well, I'd had the Bible with me in my bed all day. And I said, that's all it says. It just says, there's hope for your future. Now at the time, what does that mean? Is God going to miraculously heal my son? You know, is everything going to be exactly like I'd hoped and dreamed when I learned I was pregnant? But she said, well, listen to what it says in the NIV. The whole verse was, there's hope for your future, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land. And Reagan, I knew in that moment he was telling me that my son was going to return to him, take him to heaven. And so from that point on, he began to prepare me to let go of what I had just received. Again, just amazing grace of God. His comfort is something else.
Yeah. So what was the disorder?
It was a chromosomal disorder. Now, a lot of people are familiar with trisomy 21, known as Down syndrome, because those babies tend to live into adulthood. They have heart problems and some hip problems and things. But he had trisomy 13. The smaller the number, the larger the chromosome that it's associated with. And so most trisomy 13 babies actually are miscarried or stillborn. And so they told me when he was born that he probably wouldn't survive but a couple of days. And he actually lived almost 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Because the Lord had a plan for all of those days, getting me ready to let go and everything we went through.
That's good that you, even though it was only 3 weeks, you got to spend any time at all.
Well, you know, I had learned just before I was, in fact, pregnant in my third trimester when I attended a women's retreat and the speaker spoke about losing her child to childhood diabetes. She was, I think, 7 or 8 when she passed. And she said, no matter, you know, what your circumstances are, you can look one way and be upset, be bitter, ask why, or you can look another way and be thankful, right? You can either say, thank you, Lord, for what I do have, or Lord, I'm upset at what I've lost or what I don't have.
Yeah.
And that was so brought to reality when I had a couple from my church come visit me right after Sam was born. I was holding him and he reached up and he grabbed my finger like this. And the woman in that hospital room said, you are so lucky. And I looked at her like, what?
Yeah.
And she said, my second born was stillborn. I never got to feel him squeeze my finger. What a way to look at it. I'm blessed because I got 18 days with my son.
Did you, so as you move forward and he ended up passing, I mean, there's still loss there. How do you, even though you were, the Lord was preparing your heart and you were kind of ready for that as much as you could be, how did you respond and how did you get through that?
You know, we were talking earlier about the first time I went back to church after burying my son. And of all things, they were starting a Bible study on James. Well, the opening verse in James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you suffer trials of any kind, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Well, I lost it. I said, you know, here we've got like 30, I don't know, 35 people in this class. And I said, you're going to tell me that you're going to go through what I just went through. You're going to bury your baby boy and you're going to consider it pure joy. I don't think so. And of course they were like, because how do you respond to that?
Yeah.
And so I remember I went home and I was sobbing and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have gone to church. This is too hard. Yeah. And the Lord gave me a scripture from 1 Peter. Mm. And in that it said, in this you greatly rejoice. Again, talking about all those things. In this you greatly rejoice, it said in verse 7 of 1 Peter 1. Even though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come. Here was my reason. These have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. Mm. So it's like, Lord, this is all about refining me and proving my faith genuine. Yeah. Am I only going to believe you, you know, kind of like Job's wife, curse God and die.
Yeah.
Am I only going to believe you and trust you when things go well? Mm. Or am I going to trust you and believe you when everything goes wrong? Mm-hmm. And God's grace is sufficient in our weakness. Yeah. He makes us strong. And I just began to see that not just in a sort of in a conceptual way, but in a, you know, getting out of bed and putting shoes on my feet every morning kind of way. Because, I mean, there's, I don't think there could be any greater pain than losing a child.
Yeah. I just thought about this. So your first child, how old were they at this time?
She was four.
Okay.
So she was young. A handful. And so I wondered, how on earth do women have more than one child? I couldn't take my eyes off of her. She took two hands and two eyes constantly.
Yeah.
And so when she finally was like, okay, I think I can do this. And two, she had been praying and praying for a baby brother. She'd just been asking. Every night I would tuck her in. We would say goodnight prayers and she would pray for a baby brother. And so when we got pregnant with Sam, I was like, the Lord answered your prayers, honey. We're going to have a baby. Mm-hmm. So
did she understand what was going on being so young?
You know, she had a very different kind of reaction. I don't know if children are just closer to eternity and the spiritual realm, but she, in fact, when I got pregnant again with my son Scotty, who's now 26, and I told Sarah, you know, we're pregnant again, you know, maybe God will give you the brother that you prayed for again, since, you know, we had to say goodbye to Sam. No, mommy, she said, I already have a baby brother. Now I want a baby sister. And I remember thinking, wow, I wish I could see it that way because I still wanted, you know, to raise my boy.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Oh, how sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
Kids just have such a different perspective on things. But I understand when I was young, I prayed for a sibling.
You did.
And my parents were not planning on having another child. They were not planning on that. So when I told them I'm praying for a sister, but I said I'm praying for an older sister.
Oh.
So I didn't fully understand that baby will pop out. But I end up being the older sister. So the Lord, you know, he really works and he knows. But it's funny when kids respond that way because they kind of they're like, yeah, I want a sibling. Yeah. And you're like, huh? You know, like, so kids are just super funny like that.
Yeah.
So about how long after did you have Scotty then? How long after was this?
Well, I, of course, found out from my obstetrician how soon it would be safe.
Yeah.
One of the things I remember him telling me was, don't let the loss of Sam take away from the joy of another child. Mm. And don't let the joy of another child take away from fully grieving the loss of Sam. And so I felt ready, but my husband was not. We actually almost didn't make it as a couple because of that. And so the Lord had to prepare Steve as well. He was afraid it would happen again, right? And even though there was nothing that we had done wrong or anything that we couldn't have done right, it was just one of those. When you think about it, everything that comes together when those two cells collide, it's amazing that as many children as do come out perfectly do. So again, it was just one of those things. And but we made it through and he finally agreed. And I'm so glad he did. You know, that old saying, you never know really what you have until you don't.
Yeah.
And so I would tell Scott every single day for years. He still remembers. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh,
I'm so glad you're here.
Oh,
yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so for this next section, let's dive a little deeper into that conversation. So getting into this next section. So you have another son, mm-hmm. and Scotty, and like you mentioned, there were some difficulties and some rocky parts of that because you're still dealing with the loss, mm-hmm. but also with joy. You have a child. That's a beautiful thing. And we had talked about before, you had a story that you had talked about. You were just having a difficulty there, and you sent him off to be taken care of by a caretaker or a babysitter or something like that. And I don't know if you remember the story,
but I'd
love for you to talk a little bit about that.
So Scott was about 9 months old, mm-hmm. and I had gone back to work.
Yeah.
And it was not a leap year.
Yeah.
And so February 28th, March mm-hmm. 1st is about as close as you can get to the mm-hmm. birthday. And I was driving to pick up Scott, mm-hmm. and I started... There's a difference between crying out to God
yeah.
and grumbling and complaining.
Yes, yes.
And I had swung by the store to pick up some flowers before picking up Scott. My plan was to go by Sam's grave and yeah. lay the flowers for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking he would be two.
Mm.
2-year-olds are so much fun. We could be yeah. having a birthday party, but yeah. instead of buying a cake, I'm taking flowers mm. to a grave. And I had worked myself quite up into a fit,
yeah.
and I opened the window because I saw the caretaker walking away
yeah.
from the house. And so I said, "Hey, what's going on?" And
yeah.
she said, "Oh, I'm just going down to the mailbox. I'll be right back.
Mm.
You can wait in the driveway." So even in that state of arguing and complaining,
yeah.
I found myself saying, "Thank you, God, thank mm. you for giving me such a good caregiver for Scott." Because when he heard my voice,
yeah.
he kind of perked up and
Aww.
Tried to look around. But because I was inside a car,
yeah.
he was too little to figure it out.
Yeah.
But even though he could hear my voice and he knew that I was near, instead of throwing a fit, he just settled right back into
yeah.
the caregiver's arms. And so I said, even as I pulled in the driveway and stopped, I said, "Lord, thank you for
mm.
providing such a good caregiver for my son."
Mm.
And Reagan, you know, I didn't hear an audible voice. Whenever I
yeah.
say I heard the Lord, it's more like myself talking
yeah.
to myself,
but yes.
it's just a voice that I hear in my head. And I heard, "I'm a good caregiver too."
Mm.
And that's when I started just weeping. And
mm.
he said, I said, "But I, you know, I miss him."
Yeah.
And he said, "You'll see him again. Just think of it as a walk to the mailbox and
yeah.
back." And again, a day is like 1,000 years to
yeah.
the Lord. We have such a different perspective. And that takes me back to that scripture from 1 Peter.
Yeah.
"Though now for a little while,
mm.
you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials."
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? I can do anything for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said, "Lord, help me to see from your perspective." And that really did help.
Mm. That's great. Yeah, when I'm struggling or going through trials, which have happened a lot in my life, but again, the Lord is so good. He's so gracious, and he gives me that joy
mm-hmm.
that perseveres through difficult times. It doesn't have to just be in good times.
Right.
That's why it's joy and not happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I often think about either hoping for the Lord to come back or for one day, you know, being in heaven, and just how beautiful that will be. We'll have new bodies. We'll see our family members. I have a sibling up in heaven too. And so, you know, just thinking about those sort of things, like, it's like how beautiful that will be. And especially, I mean, we'll get to spend eternity with Christ, to be with him. And I don't know if you've ever heard the song by Jordan Felice. I think it's Another World or something like that. And it basically talks about how we're not from here.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we're aliens, but like this is not our world and right. we long to be in our home. Mm-hmm. And there are so many reasons for that, to be with Christ, to be with our loved ones, to have a new body. And it's just, I don't, that just helps me get
yes
through it and move forward. And it's just, it's an amazing thing to think about that we have that
to look forward to. Yes, mm-hmm. it really is.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, some difficulties in your marriage through all of this. I'm sure you had to really, both of you had to really cling to Christ and just
absolutely
work through that and put him in the middle. Would you say so?
Definitely. You know, it's interesting that you put it that way because yeah. our wedding invitation had a picture of a cross with the two interlocking rings
yeah.
where the intersection of the mm-hmm. cross comes together. But the base of the cross became a braid that separated mm-hmm. into three strands.
Yeah.
Oh. And the scripture in Ecclesiastes was mm-hmm. on the cover. A yeah. cord of three strands is not quickly yeah. torn apart. And so with Christ at the center and us all together, mm-hmm. We had the strength because yeah. when there were times, we just grieved so differently. Mm-hmm. Steve wanted to forget it and move on and get back to work. And
yeah.
I remember one time he came home from work and said, well, what did you do all day? Because I was on maternity disability, yeah. especially because of the cesarean. It was longer. And I had to think, like, mm-hmm. first, what did I do? And I went to Sam's grave today.
Mm.
And he said, oh my gosh, I forgot.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, of course, I lost yeah. it. How could you forget?
Yeah.
Very different way of yeah. grieving. And so we had a lot of prayers. We had some counseling and we made mm-hmm. it through. And we just celebrated 37 years of marriage.
Congrats. So yeah, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a hard work, but it's so worth it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great to see that when a situation looks one way and is rocky and there's difficulty, but the Lord, it's almost at times you have to remind yourself like this, the Lord will work through this, yeah. but sometimes the flesh is speaking and mm-hmm. it's like, what's going on? Why is this happening? Is this going to work out for the good? All those questions come through even if a little bit.
Right.
And just having to, like you mentioned, back when you were in the hospital, starting to say verses to yourself that you just had memorized. And I think honestly, like I've been learning that more recently is, well, the Holy Spirit's been teaching me that is something I've known about for years is taking every thought captive.
Good.
But I've struggled with that because I've thought, okay, God, please take this thought. Please take it away. Please help me to think about something else. But the best way to actually do that is to fight it with scripture.
That's right.
Say, okay, Lord, I don't want to think this way. Help me to fight this. Help me to, you know, work through this. And responding with scripture because that's the truth. It's God's word. And it's the only way. It's our sword. The only way to actually fight through that. What beauty do you see came out of a difficult situation?
You know, that's a really good question, Reagan, because I was raised in a Christian home. Mm. I really didn't learn until young adulthood how rare it is to have a functional family,
yeah.
to have a mother and father who love each other, who yeah. love God, who love their children.
Yeah.
And so And we believed and saw yeah. God at work.
Yeah.
And so it was like, whenever I prayed, God answered.
Yeah.
And so for me, not that I was shallow, but I really didn't have a lot of, well, I felt like I didn't have a testimony.
Yeah.
I mean, I was raised going to church. I was raised on the scriptures. And so if everything is so perfect,
yeah.
what kind of, ministry can you do, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of story can you tell?
Yeah.
And so while I would never, ever pray for something
yeah.
horrible to
yeah.
happen, I now understand what James was talking about. You know, the testing develops perseverance. And in Romans 5, it says, and perseverance develops character and character mm-hmm. develops hope.
Yeah.
And hope does
yeah.
not put us to shame, mm-hmm. right? Because of the love that God has poured into our hearts
yeah.
by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so as I began to be in that place of utter desperation and even hopelessness,
mm-hmm.
that's when I saw the grace of God. And that's when I could really connect more with people.
Yeah.
I sang. I was actually a professional musician.
Oh, wow.
In my youth.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I did was I sang at weddings and funerals.
Yeah.
And I had the same attitude at both.
Yeah.
And after I lost my son, well, I couldn't sing at funerals for a while, but then I had such a different sense of compassion and empathy for the family who had suffered loss.
Yeah.
So I want to answer in the words of a friend of mine, because somehow she just knew that I had been through stuff, a new friend that I had made. And so over coffee one time, I said, how do you know? And she said, it's the fruit of the spirit in you, the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and good. When God wants to develop something in you, you often have to go through the opposite, right? You're not going to learn how to love unless you're faced with unlovable people, right? You're not going to learn patience. They always say, don't pray for patience
because
God will test it. And it's really true.
Yeah.
And so because so many areas of my life had been under that refiner's fire, under the heat, the fruit was just so evident. And I would not give that up for anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Again, consider it pure joy. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
I do.
I can definitely identify with that. Because oftentimes I've asked, like, why is it so constant? Why are there continuous trials one after the other for so long? But then when I look back on each trial, I see the beauty that came out of it, how God worked and how the Lord worked in me, not just in the situation. But when you're in it, it's sometimes like, another one. Okay, Lord. And I think, you know, now I'm looking back on, you know, just certain ways the Lord has worked in me and how something that may have bothered me before, specifically in a certain area, doesn't bother me as much as it previously did. But there's another part to the trial that's a different part.
Right.
And that part does, there's difficulty there.
You go through a trial and the Lord says, okay, you trust me for this much.
Yep.
Now will you trust me for this much?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you trust me for this much. Now will you trust me for... And so every trial takes you deeper and deeper into levels of trust.
Yeah.
Because you keep seeing him come through.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I know. I often say, like, if I have any questions in my mind, I'll say to myself, why am I questioning? I saw him working this time and this time and this time. And I go through the long list. And these situations are super similar. What am I doubting? Where is this doubt coming from? And just praying through that and asking for the Lord's help and saying, okay, it's going to be okay. Like, it's going to be fine. The Lord's going to work. And everything is going to work out just as it did before. And there's a reason for it. And with my health and the difficulties I face with that, I'll often think to myself, okay, if this is going to be used to help someone else out, yes, there are a lot of difficult times with this, but if it brings someone to Christ, not me, the Lord working through me in a situation, then that's worth it. And sometimes I have to reiterate that to myself, but it really is worth it because it's to bring glory to him. And that's the best thing. That's totally worth all of the trials and the tribulations. And the Lord does work in us. We are being changed for the better. It's not just, you know, some people say, why is the Lord letting these bad things happen? Why is he casting these things on people, these negative events, whatever that may be, right? And they think, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. There's so many rules. And the reasons, and obviously I'm not God, so I don't know everything, but those things are to help us. They're not to hinder us. They're not to worsen us, to make our lives a bad time.
Right.
those barriers and the trials that we go through, there's reasons for those. And we may not see it. We may not understand it. But God has a purpose for it all.
Right.
And he's good.
Right. And he's not good. Only that, in the light of eternity. Mm-hmm. I mean, earlier you were saying something that made me think of that verse from Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, yeah. bright shining as the sun, yeah. we've no less days to sing his praises mm-hmm. when we've just begun. And so when you think of that, how long we're going to be in glory compared to just the little whisper of time yeah. that no matter, you know, how great our suffering was, it's nothing compared to the glory.
Yeah.
I mean, even I love the scripture that says, for the joy set before him, mm-hmm. Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, because he knew he was purchasing a place for yeah. each one of us mm-hmm. to be with him forever.
Yeah.
Very much worth it.
So kind of shifting gears a little mm-hmm. bit. Now you have a YouTube channel. You do Bible studies. You've written books. I mean, I have one right here. What got you to that point?
I mentioned earlier that I had been a professional musician.
Yes.
I thought the Lord had called me and gifted me as a singer. Mm-hmm. And so I was pursuing that. I had recorded some CDs.
Oh, wow.
But it was after this mm-hmm. That I wrote the book and I began to share the message. Yeah. And I started by like doing concerts where I talked a little bit about how God had provided for me.
Yeah.
But little by little, it started becoming less music and more, and then not just testimony, but more teaching. Mm-hmm. And that's when the Lord really revealed this teaching gift yeah. that I have. And I absolutely love, and I never would have done it. Yeah. I felt like, I remember how I said, who wants to listen to Little Miss Perfect talk about her little yeah. perfect life? But after that, and I began to just mine the scriptures for myself, you know, I was looking for hope. I was looking for comfort. I was looking for strength and wisdom and all of the things that I needed. Mm. And, you know, when you start realizing that you have this teaching gift, it's like, yeah. okay, Lord, now are you giving this just to me? Or are you giving it to me so that I can then share it with the world? And oftentimes it was both. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes and yes. And so that's kind of how it all happened when I got a phone call one day from a woman who said, we're planning to do a little day retreat at our church. And I keep praying about who to invite as a speaker. And your name keeps coming to mind.
Oh, wow.
And I keep telling the Lord, I can't bring in both a worship leader and a speaker.
Yeah.
And I need a speaker, not a worship leader.
Yeah.
And she said, but Shauna, every time I go to prayer, I just keep thinking of you. Is that something that you do?
Yeah.
Do you do that? Well, right before that phone rang, my husband said prophetically, Shauna, yeah. I think you're supposed to start speaking and teaching. And I joked and I said, well, what am I supposed to do? Stand on a corner? We'll speak for food, right? And that's not going to happen. And I said, if the Lord wants that, he's just going to have to open a door.
Yeah.
And then right then I got that phone call. And wow. so I told her, you're not going to believe what you just interrupted with yeah. this phone call. If you're willing to have a guinea pig come to your women's event, I'm willing to speak.
Yeah.
And do you know when you do something that the Lord has been equipping you for years and you didn't even know it, and you see the faces and you sense the Spirit's pleasure, you're like, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Praise God. Well, I think that's coming to wrapping up. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we do
that? You did mention my books.
Yes.
And I no longer have a store on my website, but I'm assuming you're going to put some links in the yes. show description on how to get a hold of me.
Yes.
The book that you have in front of you is one that I have in my closet
yeah.
that is about the story of Sam and all that the Lord did through that. There's so many, I call them God's thumbprints.
Yeah.
Just I don't know how you could go through what I went through and not know that you have a father who loves you and is hemming you in, like it says in Psalm 139, behind and before and all around.
Yeah.
And then my other book, Longing to Belong, actually, well, it's a Bible study of Psalm 139.
Yeah.
And it's one that I developed for my church and I taught, and they liked it so much, they asked me to teach it again. And then the women were like, Shauna, you have to publish this study. It is so good. And so the Lord provided a publisher through a writer's conference I attended. And so I have that book as well. So I would love if anybody's interested in just reaching out to me, yes, and I can get them to them.
Yeah. Well, actually, that leads into what I was going to say at the end. Okay. So kind of just to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. So we discussed God's goodness through loss and just, I mean, the amount of time that's gone through you being able to look back and just see his hand and how he's worked in your life, how he's used this to help other women, other people in general, and he's used your story to write multiple books as well. And even if not directly your story in your other books, using that to ignite something and work in your life to do that through those subject matters. And just as a note to anybody watching or listening, he will heal you through your situation. And if that's a physical thing, that may not, not that he can't, he does heal people physically, but even if it doesn't look that way, he will heal you mentally, spiritually, and in whatever way that he knows is best for you. Look to him, cling to him if you have to, and listen to his word, read his word, whatever is the best medium for you, and just talk to him, and he will pull you close. He wants you to know him, and these situations are him working on you and working through your life. So just don't lose hope. It can be really hard, and the enemy wants us to lose hope.
Oh yeah.
But don't do it. Don't do that. Use this story and the stories that we talk about as a way to see that you're not alone. So thank you, Shauna, for coming on.
Absolutely.
And for sharing your story. It's just very beautiful and it's very inspiring. And it's great to see the Lord working through just every situation that he works through in people's lives. So first off, subscribe to her YouTube channel, Begin Again God. And that's capital B, capital A, and capital G on the after the at sign. So please like this episode, share it, and subscribe for new episodes every other week. Peace out, Girl Scouts. And I'll link down below all of the information for Shauna. Thank you.